Hi, this is Steve Sansweet, and you are listening to Stars on the Left.
Stop waving that pen like it like it's like
a lightsaber,
a director thingy from. Welcome back, everyone, to Star Wars on Direct. We're going to be live right now with Frank Diorio from YumYumsUniverse.com. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Coming back from the moon. And we're going to be asking you a couple of questions now. Of course, we want to know the basic questions. Since when are you a fan of Star Wars?
Well, that was an easy one. That was in 1977, which makes me very old, but I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I remember my friend running across the street with his Starlog magazine, and it was the issue before Star Wars came out in the summer with Ralph McQuarrie's X-Wing and TIE Fighter, I think, on the cover, and he was like waving it, saying like, "Oh, this is going to be the greatest movie ever," and I was looking at the picture and I was saying like, "Oh, that's looks awful, it's gonna suck," you know. And of course I was like really wrong, and the day that we went to see it in the movie, like, we wanted to go back the next day, and we ended up seeing it, I don't know, maybe like 20 times that summer. Like, we would hide in the bathrooms and and go see it at 3 o'clock, then hide in the bathroom, go see it at 5 again, and it was a crazy summer. But that's when I was introduced into the whole Star Wars universe and things.
Good days, good days.
Yeah.
Do you actually remember when you started doing dioramas for Star Wars?
I started that around, I think, maybe like 7 years, 7 or 8 years ago. And the first ones were like very simple. It was just putting scenes like on a shelf. Like, my friend gave me the idea to make like one planet for each shelf, so I'd have like a planet for Hoth, say, and then I'd be able to put like the Wampa Cave and then the Echo Base and then all the different things from that planet, the Rebel Troopers, and then on another shelf I'd be able to put like Endor and Yavin and different things with green leaves and stuff like that. And
theme shelves, basically.
Yeah, kind of like that. That's what how it started about like maybe 7 years ago.
And then came the foam core.
Yeah, then I discovered foam core after, yeah. the joys of foam core.
Mm-hmm. But before foam core, you were using like metal grid and with plastic.
Yeah, well, the first one I tried to do was like the first one was Hoth, if I remember. And so it was basically like chicken wire, mm-hmm. Like fences, and you'd like just like smush it up, kind of to make it like all kinds of like creases and different things like that, look like wrinkled clothes, mm-hmm. you know. And then I would put like plaster bandages. That's like when you break your arm, the doctor, mm-hmm. he puts like those strips that he dips in water,
mm-hmm.
and you put that over the chicken wire, and then you maybe put some plaster of Paris painted on top of that, so that it was like that's really like the most easy diorama that you could actually make. And mm-hmm. then it was basically just making like caves and different things like that before like you said, that I discovered
foam core.
And then I started doing like Tatooine houses and all kinds of things like that. Yeah.
And like, how did it all started, like, except from the shelves, all did it started at the fact that you wanted to build dioramas?
Mm-hmm. Were you collecting before?
Yeah, well, when I was young, when I was 13, my mom would buy me like the figures and some of the ships. And then at a certain time, I think like 1 year after, and like in 78, there was like just too many things that started coming out, like glasses and sheets and posters, and it was like we just limited ourselves to the toys. So in
the 95, perfect Star Wars,
yeah,
room.
And in 95, when Hasbro relaunched the line, and I was lucky enough to be at the start of my career at that time, so I didn't have to ask my mom to buy me all my toys. So that was good. And by doing that, then I never bought toys really, you know, for like wanting to resell them 10 years later on eBay to make money or anything like that. So I would always open the toys, and then so like the dioramas just came from having too many of the loose figures lying around and trying to find a way to display them that would look nicer than just on the table, you know. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you had a little bit more space than you used to have in your old room, so.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, yes, that's true.
How much do you actually spend on a normal diorama?
Oh, that depends on the scene and the different elements that you use. If say that you do something simple like
Palpatine's
the trash,
office.
Well, yeah, well, Palpatine's office. Well, that's well, I guess it's kind of simple because
it's only
foam core. It's mostly most of the dioramas. Really, it's like not really expensive. It's more like the time
consuming
that it takes
yeah.
that you spend on it, which is you know the biggest. Problem that people have, you know, is finding time to make them. But yeah, the Palpatine's office, I think it was maybe like $40 worth of like foam core to make the room and then the latex paint and different things like that. So it wasn't that much expensive. It just took maybe like 5 months to make on like weekends. And something like say like a trash compactor, which is just like a basic wall and stuff, that can take maybe like a
two weekends,
and that's like maybe $10 worth of material. So it's like it depends on, you know, if you want to go crazy like the Palpatine's arrival,
or even let's talk about the Bespin carbonation chamber.
Okay, yeah. Well, that one was actually like quite simple.
Because it's pretty impressive.
it doesn't seem simple.
No? Well, to me, I look at it now and I go like, okay, that was one of the early ones that I did where it was away from the shelf and like in a kind of like a little box type of separate piece kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I still like it. It's on display at Legends with some of the other things that I did. But when I look at it now, I know that. You know, I'm just itching one day to do like a phase two version where I'll have to like start over and do it exactly like mm-hmm. in the movie set. There's some that were done by some of the visitors on my site that did like awesome versions of that diorama. It's
okay.
Really impressive.
Mm-hmm. With electronics and
yeah, with
everything.
Lights and everything, it really makes like a huge difference when you do that.
Of course, dioramas includes. Very often action figures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always buy them at the art price, or will you get them sometimes from dealers or friends of yours?
Well, living in Canada, it's as you know, is not the easiest thing to find action figures because most of the times lots of waves are like just skipped and or they're not even released. I used to, like everyone else, I always buy my toys in the toy stores, like all the other regular people or whatever. Not that I'm not regular.
but you're quite special.
I'm lucky that I discovered Legends, and in terms of that, they actually do get, you know, they're one of the only stores in Montreal that get, like, all the waves and different things like that. Sometimes a little later than, you know, that come out in the States, but at least I don't have to panic and think, like, oh, okay, well, I have, you know, this wave missing mm-hmm. or different things like that.
Well, I have to, you know, to plan a trip to the U.S.
to go to the States or something. But I am lucky by having the site that sometimes I have, like, fans that email me and say,
okay.
like, oh, I just saw this in the store. Do you have this figure? And I'll say, like, oh, no, I didn't get that yet. And then they'll go and shop for me, and then I'll send them a refund through PayPal, and sometimes
okay.
I'll give them a little bonus, like a little Jedi chair or something, and different things like that. So, yeah,
that's really cool. Did it ever happen to you that you were missing one crucial piece? Like, let's say Emperor's arrival, you're missing the Emperor. how far would you actually would you go to actually get that piece?
Okay, well, I know that I wouldn't do it in a custom because I'm not very good at doing customs. I know that I did a few, like the sitting Jedis and
mm-hmm.
different things like that, but I find it, like, so much, you know, I know that's a lot you can do, like, simple things like head swaps and whatever, but I find it, like, it's so, like, tiny and detailed, and it's like every time I try to do, like, a paint job on a little eyebrows or something, it comes out like a big glob. It's so much easier to just like paint, you know, like a diorama, which is like a big surface or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for a missing figure or something, I know I wouldn't pay like $200 or anything like that on eBay for a figure. Or I'd probably, most of the time, I'd try to get it through a friend or something like that. Or if I know that a figure is missing because Hasbro is making it maybe like next year or something, then I'll try and like delay making that diorama for when all of the figures mm-hmm. come out.
Okay.
Sounds good. Do you usually make your own props and stuff like that for your dioramas, or will you sometimes buy them off like shelves at Dollaramas, which are dollar stores?
Oh yeah. Well, when you start making dioramas and you start looking at objects in a regular store, even if it's Walmart or wherever, and you look at them through the eyes of, like, if it was like a 4-inch scale, then you start seeing all kinds of possibilities that, you know, I'm trying to think of an example which I can't at the moment, but
let's say a blender for Beru on Tatooine. You know?
Okay, well, yeah.
That's the kind of thing you can actually find with Barbie sets in dollar stores.
Yeah, or sometimes you can find, like, things, you know, like cages or different, elements from other toy lines that fit the same scale, and you can reuse that for, like, in the arena or different items like that. And then if you can't find anything, then you can, I sometimes have fun using, like, Super Sculpey or Fimo or different things like that to sculpt like missing pieces. Like when now that the cinema scenes came out with the chairs, before that happened for the Jedi Council, I made my own chairs and stuff out of the Sculpey, and you know, so that's the kind of thing that's fun. But it's also like hard to create like accurate like furniture and things when it's symmetrical.
Yeah.
Because then it has to be all perfect on all sides, and it's like, sometimes I'd rather wait till Hasbro mm-hmm. does it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we'll maybe one day see like a moisture evaporator so I don't have to do that.
And how do you make your backgrounds? The backgrounds from your scene, it seems like pictures or...
What I do, I use Photoshop to create those, and most of the time, I start off with... making of books, like mm-hmm. Some of the
visual dictionaries,
dictionaries or the storybooks, anything that has like still pictures from the movies, and sometimes on StarWars.com find some pictures from there, or I go on my LaserDiscs and pause the Star Wars movies because they're not out on DVD yet, but hopefully soon. So then I kind of like look at the pictures, or I sketch, you know, what they look like, and then in Photoshop I like recreate the same kind of background, like say for the Darth Vader secret, where in Bespin mm-hmm. in that big like tube type of thing. So I like recreated the whole decals in Photoshop, mm-hmm. and then the fun thing about that is that I can then put it online and have people go into the sections and then download
and
it onto their computer, and then if they have a printer, then they can print it and recreate, you know, the mm-hmm. scenes themselves if they don't have like Photoshop or the skills to or time to do that mm-hmm. kind of images and stuff.
Because
like that.
You do a really good job
with those
backgrounds. So it's really scary. HILM should actually hire you. It's incredible. Yeah. You're still here.
Well, one day maybe we'll see.
Stay with us. Yeah. How many of these dioramas can you make in 1 year?
In a year? Well, I wish I could make more, because I know that I get lots of emails always saying, like, either when I'm going to update or when I'm going to make it their next favorite dioramas or anything like that. Unfortunately, because it's really just for, like, my pastime and everything that I do that. I work on it on Sundays and sometimes Saturdays and Sundays, but something easy like I did last year when the two packs of the trash compactor came out, I redid like a little deluxe version, and that took me like 1 weekend or 2 weekends or something like that mm-hmm. to do. The Palpatine's arrival, or even the Millennium Falcon that I did last year, that was approximately the same time for both, and it was around like 7 or 8 months that it could take, depending on the more detail there is, then, you know, the more time it takes. And maybe what I should do is kind of like do workshops where I can have, like, we can do like
you can have
efforts,
people
you know,
helping you
people, yeah, then I could maybe do like 6-7 a year or something. It might work actually.
Well, maybe we can try and do something
you
with
can teach how to make dioramas and make money out of it.
That's it.
No,
get
well,
us put
money,
get,
no,
get us put in the middle of Legends, you know. special Sundays with
Frank. I don't
think we
have the space for that.
Already have enough action figures to put up on their wall.
Yeah.
So we were talking a little bit earlier about the material you use. You didn't mention you use Photoshop for the backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
Chicken wire for doing mountains and huts,
yeah.
and stuff like
yeah.
that. Fimo, Super Sculpey. What would you recommend, like the basic fan who wants to start a diorama to use?
The basic material.
The basic material.
The basic material. Well, the easy, you know, if you want to start off with the easy scene or something like that, it would be either with like foam core, because that's not very expensive and it's easy to cut and everything like that. You can go into any store, art supply store, or like a store like Staples or something like that, and just buy a sheet and then an X-Acto knife, and then you like, you know, cut the pieces, and then you can make four walls and then just print decals on it and have an instant diorama. The other easy ones are just using like plaster of Paris is also easy, because if you want to make like we did at Celebration, or if you do like a Tatooine house or something, because of the way that the design of the buildings are, which are like all like falling apart and messy, so like you don't, you know, it's perfect for a beginner, because even if it doesn't look perfect, then it looks exactly
like
the
Star Wars
yeah. world, you know.
That's,
so
you know,
that was, that's what was cool about the original movies, you know, you had all that oily and, you know, gritty look and everything.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of cutting foam core with X-Acto knives, how's the finger?
Oh, my finger.
Adam Wan Kenobi wanted to know, how's the finger?
My finger is doing much, much better, thank God. I'm so happy that I didn't chop it completely off. So you have to be very careful when you use X-Acto knives, because...
Especially through foam core. To describe foam core to our listeners, it's basically a thin sheet of like maybe an eighth of an inch of form sticking between two pieces
of paper.
Paper.
Yeah, it's like a sandwich, a paper sandwich. Yeah, but it was like a careless thing where I had a little bit of hot glue that was on the foam core, and the knife got stuck in that, so I was putting a little more pressure, and then when it went through the hot glue, then it went into the foam core, which was then not as hard to through, and anyway.
And then it met
your... Make a long story short, yeah, then it hit my finger.
Then it met your finger, which was a little harder to go through.
Yeah, but now, you can hardly even tell anymore with the... You know, where you even see what the scar looks like, mm-hmm. and I can bend my finger, and everything's fine. So maybe I'll put a picture
up on the site and
show how nice it looks, man.
Well, speaking of pictures up on your website, you have little making of featurettes.
Yes.
And we were talking a little bit earlier before the show about family and how it's really cool for parents to actually go on the yumyumuniverse.com website, download these backgrounds, and, you know, have playsets, make the playsets with their kids,
mm-hmm.
to actually play in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You actually have a nice little story about that.
Last year at the Celebration, like, was the first time I realized that, because I don't have kids myself, so I kind of am a kid in me, but... The feedback that I got from parents coming to see me and building the houses with their children and stuff like that, they were all thanking me for giving them, a pastime that was creative and fun and that they could do with their kids, because like kids these days are like so used to like, you know, being with like PlayStation or just staying in front of TV or do things like that. So
or computers
or computers also, yeah, doing the net, mm-hmm. but. I had lots of fathers and mothers coming to see me and saying, like, oh, thank you for, like, giving us something that we can actually, like, sit the whole family together and, like, paint together and be creative. And then the kids have, like, play sets that they can play with their toys and different things like that. So I had never thought of it that way, you know, but I thought that was, like, really, really nice and really cool thing of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
that came about, you know.
A lot of people are asking about the name of your website.
Oh, the name, yes. And it's not Nayub Nayub. Some people have come to see me. The name is actually kind of like a funny story, because had I known or found out how Lucasfilm actually spelled it, it would have been a different name completely. But it's basically the sound that Wicket does in Return of the Jedi when he meets Princess Leia the first time, when he goes nyef, 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 like that. And I always laughed when I'd hear that, and then I would always, like, I'd be rewinding the, when I was looking for a nickname, I'd be rewinding the tape and then trying to figure out what exactly he was saying, and then I thought it was N-I-U-B for nyub, 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 but it was actually supposedly spelled Y-U-B. So if I was technically correct, it would be Yub Yub Universe, but mm-hmm. it stuck at Nyub Nyub, so I guess that's what we'll have to live for.
And it's not Nyub Nyub.
No, it's not the Lando's co-pilot Nyub either, no.
We wanted to make this clear to everybody here. Of course, Star Wars Celebration 2, you were there
yes.
with a couple of other friends, Dial Makers, I think we can call them that way.
Dial Makers.
And how did it happen? How did you all get together?
That was, like, I'm so glad I had the chance to do that, and it's like, how did it start? At the time, I was being hosted by Rebel Scum, and I knew that Philip Wise was involved in the convention, and I sent him an email saying that it would be fun to maybe do something with dioramas over there. And then he passed it along to Steve Sansweet and Mary Franklin, and they loved the idea right away, except that at first they wanted me to just like sit behind the table and then like build something and then have people come in, you know, see how you make a diorama. And then I felt like maybe that would be like too much, like being in a zoo or something. I was a bit embarrassed about
a little
that.
Bit of pressure. So just as I was saying earlier, for those people who actually went to the Star Wars Celebration, there was a guy in the dealer's room from Hasbro who was working with the Kenner Wax, always like that one.
Yeah,
and
building the figure, sculpting the figure. Yeah.
That's right. He was actually sculpting the figures, and everyone was looking at him, what the hell is he doing?
Well, he's less embarrassed than, or less shy than I am. So yeah, I had suggested that it would be more fun to do kind of like a workshop where you could have people come in and actually build things that they'd be able to take home as a souvenir after. So I suggested Mos Eisley because it was a easy first beginner's diorama thing to do, and we were lucky to have like some like $4,000 worth of material from sponsors, and so the people would come in and everything was free, and they were like all surprised. They were going like, how much do you have to pay to make a diorama? And I go, no, it's free. And they were all like in shock almost. And it was like, it was amazing. And we'd just give them their piece of foam core, and then we'd give them the paint and the plaster, and then they went off in the corner. Some people came for like only one day, some came for the 3 days, and at the end, at noon on Sunday, then we put together on four giant 4x8 pieces of plywood. Mm-hmm. We recreated Mos Eisley with the, I think there was over like 150 houses or something like that. And then for about 2 hours it was on display, and we had brought action figures and to like do the population of it and everything. And I was like so amazed, and everyone was like freaking out. It was like, it was amazing just to see how in 1.5 days all these, you know, this could happen with people's creativity and imagination and things like that. And then the best thing was the people were able to take their houses with them. And then there were some people who were waiting for the, because some people were there like say only on the Friday or the Saturday, and they weren't there on the Sunday to bring their houses. Mm-hmm. So everyone was like waiting like at a rummage sale or something, you know, like for like what houses would be left that no one was coming to get. And they'd say like, oh, I'm going to take it, you know. So it was really funny. But that was an amazing time, you know. So if it happens again in 2005, if my work schedule allows it, I'd do it again in a flash for sure.
Okay. Well, without spoiling anyone about the episode 3, because you do know a little bit of spoilers about episode 3, mm-hmm. It's hard to say, but what would you actually be looking forward to make from what we've heard from episode 3 so far?
Oh, God, that's hard to guess. I have enough trouble trying to figure out what next diorama I'm going to make. Now I have to think of what I'm going to do in 2005.
But don't answer right now.
Okay.
we'll keep it for some other time.
Wait for the trailers, and you will have probably
a better idea.
You'll have a better idea.
Okay.
We'll do that. What actually were you planning on doing next? Because we know you have a couple of ideas.
Yeah, well, next I'll probably finish what I started before I did Palpatine's Arrival, which is the conference room from A New Hope, where you have Darth Vader and Tarkin and all of those people. Because the wall structure is already created, and I just have to repeat that like 30 times to make it like a circular room.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that the shuttle was coming out sooner than I thought, that's when I put that aside to finish Palpatine's Arrival. So I'll probably go back to the conference room, and then after that I think I'll probably work on the Geonosis
War Room
with the cinema scenes that were just released now, because there's like about 8 figures or something that are available for that now. So I think that'll be like a cool scene that would be able to be done relatively quickly, because it's not much detail, just like a wall using plaster and different textures and things like that. And then after that, I think I'll probably put like a kind of like a poll or something on my site, or go to the top 10 section and try to pick something that the fans want to see made.
Want to see. Of course, for the Geonosis arena, you're going to be... we were talking about it a little bit earlier today. You were thinking about using Iceland foam for to build... Like,
yeah, someone sent me an email with a picture of what they had done for their arena, and I was like very impressed with the result. And it's the foam. I think it's used for like caulking or for like the isolation or something.
Yeah.
It looks like shaving cream when it pops out of the can, and then it like I think it blows up. It goes like,
yes, it does.
Like that. Yeah, it expands and then it hardens into like a big styrofoam thing, and then you use like an X-Acto knife or a fork or something, and you're able to like scratch out the same. It gives the exact same texture as that you see like in the actual miniature set that ILM built and everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be like
a
good technique.
If you got a well-aired space, you can also use a little iron solder on which you put a little copper wire, and you just like
cut through it with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably would work even better. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's a little trick I heard from a convention a couple of years ago. At a guy who actually did the Tatooine Boonta Heaves race with micro machines and stuff like that.
That would be really cool to see. Yeah.
But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, diorama of the pod race scene.
Oh, that would be
cool.
Huge.
Yeah. Yes, it would be.
No, but just a part,
like just make it to scale.
Yeah.
Oh my lord!
We only have 2 pods though. Like, hopefully we'll. Well, I don't know at this point if we'll see more. It'd be fun to have more pod racers, maybe.
Of course, if we use the one that Henry did from Legends, we have 4.
that's
you do the start finish line with the stands. It would be great.
Yeah, and then with Jabba and all the different pieces like that.
And the Gazgano pieces of pods that blew up.
Yeah, but that's another one that would take like 8 feet or something of space to.
And
to
about 1,000 Q-tips.
Yeah, the little Q-tips. Yeah. That was cool the way that they did that. It was I was impressed with that.
Who would have thought? Who
would have known? Yeah.
There's a feature on your website that which I like, is the for each diorama there's a picture and you compare it to the still from the movies.
The cinema comparison.
Yeah. Did you go through photo courses or something to learn how to focus all those to make it look like the movies?
No, surprisingly enough, no. it's kind
you're
of
a natural.
Like just, no, it's just like fluke or something. I don't know. What happens, what I do, I just take like the still from the books or the picture, and then I just rearrange the figures in the same position. And then with the camera, when you put the camera in macro, and if you don't use the flash and you just like light it using like little like Christmas lights or like special lights, it's amazing how the camera actually like transforms the figures into like 6-foot tall people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just position the camera approximately as best as you can to the actual frame of the movie, mm-hmm. so your brain is kind of tricked into mm-hmm. thinking that it actually looks like the film.
You give
a deja, not a déjà vu, but you go like, oh, is that real or not? You know, mm-hmm. it's like
at first glance.
Sometimes you blink.
That's right. Just like a couple of tricks you use in your dioramas, for instance, the Emperor's Arrival, which is on display in the outside.
At Legends, yes.
Yeah, outside.
You have to come down to Montreal and see that.
That's yeah. it.
No, that was a
you have to come and make
Montreal
the trip to Montreal.
Board, yeah.
You have to come to Montreal just to see the Nyam Nyam's Universe exposition at Legends Action Figures. It's really amazing. How many stormtroopers did you actually use in the Emperor's Arrival?
Oh, I think we did count, and I think it's written on my site, but I don't remember offhand. I think there was 150 or 175 or something like that. I was lucky enough that a friend of mine in California, Tom, who was selling his collection because he was getting married or something like that. Didn't want all those figures hanging around.
Women are bad for Star Wars fans.
He was nice enough to like give them, sell them to me for like $1.25 or $2 each. I don't remember the exact price. So it was like a lot cheaper than buying it at the store. And even at the store, like it's impossible to go in anywhere and say, you know, pick 200 stormtroopers off
that's
the shelf
it.
Anyway. So
I'd see the order from the Star Wars fan club. You know, I'd like the club, like with the 5 stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I need 70 of these.
Yeah. Well, that's actually cool that they, you know, that they're offering that. It's like
they're promoting.
Yeah, it's like Hasbro, and it's like kind of slowly realizing that you know, there's like a growth of dioramas being made by people, and people are really getting into that. So like, it's fun. I'm really excited to see like even like the figures that have been made now, but even next year and different things where mm-hmm. they're concentrating on doing accessories yeah. with the figures that could be used for dioramas, you know, and mm-hmm. as opposed to, because making the accessories is what's hard. Making a room is easy if it's only like a wall, or doing like a, you know, when you do like a Hoth base or something using that chicken wire thing we were talking about, to do that is simple. But then if you have to do like the little console for like where they have all the like the little blips and different things like that,
the kind of glass with
yeah,
all the rings,
like the new general is coming out yeah. with at Christmas. It's like it's cool for them to be doing that, you know. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that we'll soon see like a moisture evaporator so that I don't have to try and build one.
they'll find something. I'm sure they will. One of your fellow diorama maker from Carson Custom Home Inside BB.com. There's a couple of periods in there as well, but let's just say Carson Customs. Adam Wan Kenobi actually wanted to know what can he do to actually help you prepare for something for Star Wars Celebration 3, because he'd love to repeat the experience he had at Star Wars Celebration 2. Do we have to come up with a petition?
No, I don't think so. Well, first of all, it's like early to know. Well, technically,
we don't know
if there is a Celebration 3.
No, that we know.
Which I doubt it won't happen.
Actually, Lisa Stevens from the official...
Oh, she confirmed
official,
that
she confirmed
it. Okay.
We just don't know where it's going to be held.
Where it's going to be? Okay. If there is one, and I know that the fan reaction was very positive for the workshop on the second one. There was like lineups, people were like taking pictures of all the dioramas and different things like that, and it was fun for me to allow some of my visitors to bring their dioramas to be seen in public also, and different things like that. So, you know, if my work permits me to go there, or even if they ask me, or even if it's not me, if it's someone else who will organize like a diorama workshop or whatever, I think that I think that it probably would happen, but I don't know. It's too early to know exactly mm-hmm. like what details or what we can do. But mm-hmm. I don't think a petition.
Yeah.
Would
and
really
you said
help
earlier that the most difficult thing, if you go back there, is what will you do?
Oh yeah, that's another thing. That, my God, it's like we did Mos Eisley, which was the easy decision, and now after that, it's like, okay, what kind of, you know, there's like lots of possibilities, but then you have to kind of like try to find something that it would be easy for everyone to do. And it's like, you know, what do you, you know, maybe like a Death Star would be cool, and then you'd have like printed decals available beforehand, and then all you'd have to do is make your little room, and then you could have a giant Death Star with like
with a lot of room, know, yeah,
with
yeah,
the Millennium Falcon cool. bay, and then like the swing across, and all of the you know the different rooms and
the
like that, the trash compactor. So maybe that's like an idea. It has to be something that has like multiple areas that. Each person can make a small section and then connect mm-hmm. everything.
And that would be pretty cool, too, because it would fall in with episode 3, which is the generating of the Death Star.
Mm. Yeah, that's possible also. Mm. So we'd have to see.
They've started construction somewhere, you know. Mm.
Because I know
individual contractors on the second Death Star.
Yeah, people were like saying like maybe Bespin or Hoth or different things like that, but it's like I don't know. I'd have to like kind of like do a brainstorm and ask people to send in ideas and try to see, because right now I can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. Or like you can actually try to convince Lucasfilm and the people organizing the official fan club to actually lend you the actual bigger ballroom and have Anthony Daniels demoted to the room where you used to be. And you know, that would be fun. And up there where you have like a lot of space, you can actually come up with like Tatooine.
Okay. Well, I just want everyone to know that that's not my idea.
Oh, come on, Bunta Heath Raves, that would be really cool. So this is really great. Dioramas are incredible work of art, and especially the one you can see right now in exposition from made by the end of Frank Diarrhea from NyamNyabsUniverse.com, and you can actually go and see those dioramas at Legends Action Figures, 7604 St. Hubert Street, Montreal, Province of Quebec, Canada.
And a proud sponsor of Nyam Nyam's Universe and Star Wars on Direct.
That's right. And you can also go take a look. You can go take a look at their website at legendsactionfigures.com. And
explain what can we find on your website.
Yeah.
On the website?
Yeah.
What can we expect in the coming years?
Oh, in the future?
Yeah. Or for people who never got there.
Oh, who never? Well, at the beginning. It was when the website started was for an to share the pictures of what I did, because before the web started I had made since I started 7 years ago, I had like 4 years of dioramas made when I decided to do the website, and now the website's been on for 3 years. So it evolved into wanting to be more like a community place. So I have like a section of my dioramas, but there's also a visitor section. So mm-hmm. like if people have made dioramas or want to see what other people have made besides me, then they can go into the visitor section. We have like 99 visitors on the site at the moment. Mm-hmm. I have over 50 visitors who have sent in pictures and that I have not yet posted.
Okay.
So I have to
find time to do that.
I have to hurry up and post those really soon, because people have been like asking me where those pictures are. It's amazing what the people are coming up with their imagination and creativity and everything like that. There's making of sections where you have like step-by-step examples of how to recreate the dioramas, and there's even that in the visitor section. Some of the visitors who were making dioramas from the, you know, like since the site has been online, I sometimes like tell them, can you try and like take pictures the way I do, mm-hmm. so that the people, you know, can
have different angles,
different things like that. And then it helps also people, you know, see the different skill levels. You don't have to be like just like you know, on an expert level. You could be beginner or intermediate, it doesn't matter. It's just the, you know, the way that
it's
you
a
apply
place
yourself,
yeah.
and different things. I think the biggest, you know, well, our biggest problem is always time, because finding time to do it is what, you know, everyone complains about, including me. Some people, you know, like they put themselves down because they think, oh, I can't do that as good as you or whatever. And it's like the people, they can do it, they just have to put the time into it. You know, if I took something 7 months to do, you can't spend like one day and then say like, oh, it doesn't look like the diorama. If you take the time to do it, I'm sure like, mm-hmm. you know, if the people have the talent, they just have to put the time in.
It will look close enough at least, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I can build a lightsaber in 3 days.
That's better than Luke, actually.
I know.
And in the future, what can we expect?
Alive with Frank from his...
Yes, I did buy a camera, and someone suggested... Well, I've had a couple of suggestions after like seeing the cameras on Hyperspace about that it would be fun for people to be able to click and see me actually build dioramas so that they'd be able to see the evolution during the day of where it's, you know, where it's gone. So that will come out soon. Hopefully, if I figure out how to technically do it. then there's also, I want to try and stress interactivity this year, which I have an idea that I've had for like about a year and a half. I'm just trying to find someone who like can help me with the Flash programming and things like that mm-hmm. in order to get it to work. And I think that's going to be a section that people will have like a lot of fun with. And then, let's see, what else? More dioramas, that's for sure. I want to try and get it, you know, as many as I can done. And after that, I don't know, I'll have...
You wanted to make some kind of chat from time to time? Live chat?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, there's the chat room in on my site that I used to, like, spend a lot more time in that I haven't had that much time lately. But, yeah, I'm going to try and get at least, you know, like a... regular monthly visit or something, like maybe like the first Wednesday of each month or something like that, where people could like send in questions or come and say hello and stuff like that. But sometimes before bed I just like pop in there anyway, mm-hmm. so like people just can hit the Nyeb chat icon and then like come and see if I'm online or not and say hello and different things like that. So
What would you say to young people that want to start doing dioramas but they don't know where to start?
Okay, I guess the first thing I could say is that
if you're under 13, ask your parents before using the X-Acto knife.
Well, you're cutting their phone call, yes. That's true. I don't know. I think what I can do is give a warning to people is that once you make one diorama, you will never stop.
It's addictive.
And you will make another and another and another. I think for like young kids is like look at the different pictures. Almost every site now has diorama sections, which is cool to see because you really see like how people are really getting into it and everything. And just try and use your imagination and then use the tools and things that you have at home and try to, like, anything is, like, more fun to put your figures on that you create yourself than just placing it on, like, a piece of white shelf, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, like, don't be scared to try and then know that the first one that you make you might think is, like, just, like, so-so looking, and then mm-hmm. the next one, you know that you'll improve, and then the next one, and then a year after, you'll be looking at your first one and can't believe, you know, like, how much that you've evolved and all that, and, like, I look back at the early ones that I made, and it's, like, I've done phase 2 versions and phase 3 versions, and there's, like, God, I have, like, 20 years still of things to change all the early ones. It's scary to think about. But
there's still a couple of lights missing here and there.
Yeah, lights really improve the dioramas. And with Christmas coming and the holidays and stuff, now is like the perfect time to go to like the Walmarts or different places. And especially if you want to like just try and save a bit more money, you can even wait for Boxing Day. And then you buy like 20 sets or 20 boxes of those little like Christmas miniature lights there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the perfect scale that you can like plug in onto the set and it doesn't cause the foam core to catch on fire. And it's like enough light so that it, you know, gives like a really cool look to the dioramas and things like that. So.
Just a question that popped into my head. Mm-hmm. What's your stance on optic fiber?
Oh, that's cool, but...
It costs about $5 a meter, Canadian dollars.
A meter to do it? Yeah. Well,
so that's $250 American, about?
Talking on on the lazy side, I'd say that it's too complicated to do.
It's a lot of wiring.
Draw and draw, you know, put all the little pins and all the little things. But I'm sure that it would give like a really amazing look. You know, to do it like it would look like, it would add a professional level that you wouldn't have with Christmas lights. So it just depends on how much time that you'd want to put into
but
that would work amazing for like a star field or something, like if you do like the bridge of the Excelsior or like that, and then you have the bounty hunters and you put the actual fiber optics
exits
behind
it.
Like
I'll let this one slip.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Holy rule. Holy rule. Never put Star Wars and Star Trek in the same phrase. Oh no, I just did.
You're dead.
Oh, that's right. I said Excelsior, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, that was the
You meant Executor,
okay.
But that's okay.
Okay.
But it could really be a good idea for Starfields and stuff like that, of course. So we encourage everybody to actually go and visit the Nyub Nyub's Universe website. If you have a little trouble writing down the URL, you can drop by legendsactionfigures.com and just click on the link to Nyub Nyub's Universe.
And our website, when it will be online?
Yes.
Because it was
But at
there.
This time, people will be listening to us.
Yes. But when they look at the archives, oh, there's
there
the
you
link.
Go. Yeah. A little Ewok link. So right now we're going to go to a little musical break.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Thank
Are
you very much, very much for coming, Frank.
You can come back anytime to
yeah,
to
you
do
want
a
you
chat with your
you
want to
do like live chats. We're going to be doing like live shows with you
when you get the server working. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because
dioramas with little segment of dioramas with mm-hmm. with Frank.
Okay.
Tip of the month.
Call me when you figure out how to make a 24-hour day into 48 hours.
Yeah.
Then I'll be
happy. Still working on that.
Got to put some kind of hyperspace engine on the Earth to slow it down.
Let's call Superman. So we are going to be listening to a little tune by U2, Where the Streets Have No Name, and we will be right back right after this actual tune, and we're going to be back with Wookie Mart for the Star Wars Galaxy segment.
Oh yeah.